Jesus. There we go. All right. Father, we just thank you so much. We praise you for this healing for Delisa Smith after all of that she's been through, and now she can stop taking the blood thinner. She's no longer anemic. And Father, I thank you for touching her body and healing her. And I thank you, God, that she knows it was you and that she's given the praise and glory to you. We just praise you, Father, for who you are, for loving us and for hearing our prayers. And so we lift up Renee and her son Dylan to you today. You know what's going on there. You know the details. You know what needs to happen to bring peace, restoration, victory in that situation. And so, God, we just pray that you would move in a supernatural way and intervene in this situation in Jesus' name. And, Father, we pray the same thing for Ricky. We just continue to lift him up to you, and you know what needs to happen there. And so, Father, we pray that you would cause that to happen. We believe that you are already working in the situation, that you are already working on his behalf. And Father, I just pray that you would give them peace and confidence to know that you've heard their prayers and that you are working and that there will be victory. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-243-2525. A company that cares. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey, she'll bless your shoes and your socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Mm-hmm. Ready? We're back.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Renee Kielhoffer, and her title is When You Feel Like God Has Forgotten You.
And we're talking about Zachariah and Elizabeth, and we're in Luke chapter 1, and in verse 12, Gabriel has just appeared before Zachariah and told him that God has heard your prayers, and Elizabeth will have a son. And he continues in verse 13 and says, and you're going to give him the name John. And the name John means God's gracious gift. So God remembers, God is faithful, and God's precious gift, or gracious gift. I love that. So God was saying, I heard your prayers, and now I'm going to blow your socks off. Yeah. So continuing on in verse 14 through 17, Gabriel goes on to tell him, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. Wow. Not only did God hear your prayers, he was like, this is the perfect couple to have their son be the forerunner of my son. So, wow. And he's telling him, you know, and here's Zechariah and Elizabeth, who come from a long line of priests. They're part of the priesthood. So you know that they've had more opportunity to explore spiritual things and experience spiritual things in their lifetime, probably than the average Jewish person who would have to seek it out on their own. You know, it's been readily available. So long story short, they've been raised in a really godly home, you know, for generations. And so, wow. So here God's telling them, you know, you guys are perfect for this. Have I got a mission for you? You are going to raise the forerunner of my son. He is going to bring many, many people back to the Lord, back to righteousness. He's going to cause fathers to turn back to their children. He's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He's going to make them ready. I mean, wow, wow. So if you're in Zechariah's shoes, you understand what all this means. So what do you think your response is going to be? I mean, you're going to be overwhelmed. But this is what Zechariah said in verse 18. He asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old woman. And my wife, she's old too, basically. She's well along in years, is how he was more polite about it. You know, she's well along in years. I'm sure Elizabeth appreciated that he didn't record for all time and eternity. She's old. The Message version actually has the clearest interpretation of Zechariah's response. And it was, do you expect me to believe this? I mean, we have to be very careful what we do with disappointment, because it can easily move into unbelief. And there are some things that we just won't understand this side of heaven. We have to accept that. And I'm not trying to minimize disappointments that you've had in your life, but we have to understand that we don't know what we don't know. And it does not change who God is. It can seem like you've been trusting God for years and he didn't come through for you, but we don't know what we don't know. And so how you process that disappointment in your head and in your heart, that's critical. So don't let a disappointment fester up in your heart to a place that it becomes unbelief, like Zechariah did. Do you expect me to believe this? Even when he's confronted with the information by an angel? I mean, an angel appeared to Zechariah, and his response is, do you expect me to believe this? That's the best he's got? And remember, he's been praying for a long time, and now his prayer's being answered, and the best he has is, do you expect me to believe this? I'm old. My wife is old. Do you expect me to believe this now? But look at Gabriel's response. I love this. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. You know, wake up, dude. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. In other words, if I have a message from you, it is straight from the mouth of God. So you better believe it. So it's not that Zechariah wouldn't believe it. It's because he couldn't believe it, because he had allowed those disappointments to fester into unbelief. And so he had become, listen, he had become so comfortable with unbelief in his heart that he's now on autopilot. I've prayed for this. It's not going to happen. I don't believe it. Now it's in my face. I don't believe it. I don't believe it'll happen. So be careful about becoming comfortable with your disappointments and your unbelief. We walk by faith, not by sight, and we simply do not know what we don't know. So if you camp in the place of disappointment, you will get comfortable with disbelief and limit what God can do in your life and your ability to experience the victory when he does move. Mm-hmm. Clearly, God's just moved in Zechariah's life, but Zechariah has become so comfortable with his unbelief that he's just living in autopilot there, and he can't experience the joy of the victory now of his prayer, his prayers being answered. He's like, just can't even believe it. Can't even believe it. It's like, I'm not even going there. And we do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. So in verse 20, Gabriel says, and now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Because doubt dies if it's left unexpressed. So Gabriel wasn't punishing him. He's saying heaven will not let you speak any more words of doubt over this situation. We're just going to close your mouth. It's for your own good. We'll open it again when you see, because you're at this point where I won't believe it till I see it. So we're going to close your mouth until you see it. Isn't that cool? Doubt dies if it's unexpressed. And he also couldn't hear, and we're not going to go all the way down in there, but we can see this down in verse 62, that he couldn't hear or speak. So God
couldn't take in other people's doubt.
Yes,
there.
Yes. So no one could speak any doubt into his life. So God shut his mouth, and every day this was also a reminder of his sin of unbelief. Because unbelief is not a casual offense. What it actually is saying is, I just don't believe God can do it. He hasn't, so he won't. That's what unbelief says. And when you get into that place, you cut yourself off from what God wants to do in you. Mm-hmm. So continuing on in verse 21 and 22, it says, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they're wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. They're like, what's going on in there, you know, with the temple? So when he comes out, he can't tell them because he couldn't speak to them. And they're like, what's up? And he's like, you know, he can't tell them what's going on. So what makes all of this so shocking, and this just blew my socks off, because we think when we wait a long time for something, we've waited our whole life, or we've waited for 20 years, or we've waited for 30 years. But for 400 years, God had not spoken. For 400 years. When Malachi laid down his pen, it was 4 centuries later before Jesus was born. So it had been 500 years since an angel had appeared to anyone. 500 years. So it had been 800 years since the miracles of Elijah and Elisha. I mean, centuries wow. had passed, and God had been silent, but he still heard their prayers. He still hears. When you think God is silent, mm-hmm. he hears your prayers. He still hears your prayers. So continuing on in verse 22, they realized, the people realized, he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. You know, okay, just imagine with me for a minute. God hasn't spoken in 400 years. An angel hasn't appeared in 500 years. And you're trying to, you know, what's the game that we charades. Call? Yeah, you're trying to do charades to make them understand, you know, an angel appeared, you know, from heaven. I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that? So in verse 23 and 24, it says, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. And I think this is pretty cool, because she waited until she was showing, till it was obvious that she was pregnant, so that no one could speak a negative word over her. So she was showing, you know, everybody knew she was barren. If she'd come out and said, I'm pregnant, they'd have said, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're barren, you're old, there's no way you're pregnant. So she waited till she had a good little baby bump there, and then nobody could deny what God had done. Isn't that cool? You know, sometimes we need to wait on the Lord to make it visible. And then we can tell our journey to get there. Sometimes there's a time for that word of faith to be spoken, but there is a time to be silent and just let God do what he's going to do. And Elizabeth had wisdom, and she recognized that, and she just waited. She's like, God, I know that you've done what you promised. I know that you're giving me this son. My baby John's in here, and I don't want to hear it from the naysayers. I'm just going to wait till I can walk out that door and go, look what God has done. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? So in verse 25, she says, the Lord has done this for me. Now, and this is actually how the Christmas story begins, with Zachariah and Elizabeth. You know, we always start the story with Gabriel telling Mary that she's going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But it actually starts back here with Zachariah and Elizabeth, because, and there's not a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's a private matter. And God's just taking care of it, and he's just paving the way. And, you know, that's how he is in our lives. Sometimes there aren't a lot of trumpets blowing, announcing what's fixing to happen. We may not have five people come up and give us a word of prophecy. We just know in our hearts that God has heard our prayers. And God is doing what we can't do. And he sees what we can't see. And he knows what we don't know. But we do know God remembers. And God is faithful. So it's coming. It's coming. So just three thoughts to wrap this up this morning. Number one, our impossibilities are often the places where God does his best work. Where we see impossibility, God sees opportunity. And then down in verse 37, it says, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. If you're believing for something, I encourage you to get you the bumper sticker, write it on a piece of paper, stick it on your refrigerator, stick it on your dashboard, where you are confronted with this truth on a regular basis. Nothing is impossible with God. And nothing is nothing. Nada. Nothing's impossible with God. Secondly, God's delays are not necessarily his denials. Don't assume that just because God hasn't done it yet that he said no. Because there's a big difference between God saying wait and God saying no. Delays are not always denials. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't stop believing for it, for that thing that you are believing God for. Don't stop believing. And number three, it's during our time in God's presence that we receive insight and answers from God. So we need our quiet time with the Lord, but we also need our time in the church, because some things happen corporately that won't happen anywhere else. Because when you get together that body of believers, there's an accumulated faith and grace that happens when we come together that doesn't happen when we're on our own. And so you can't trade one for the other. Don't buy into that line that I have Jesus in my heart, I am the church. You need the other believers to stand with you. We need that accumulation of faith. Two is better than one. And a whole lot is better than two. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we need that accumulated faith and grace. And God delights in showing himself powerful in your life. So I want to leave you with this thought. He heard you. Delays are not denials. Don't give up. God is good.
That's a good word.
God is good, and he is faithful.
Yes, he is. I like to listen to Karen Wheaton, and I want to get a shirt made that says, "It will be as God has said." Oh. Because that's one of her things that she says. And I have it written on my mirror. It will be as God has said.
That's good.
All those promises.
Yes. That's good. That's good.
We appreciate you coming and sharing with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you in the new year.
Yes. Happy 2024.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our sister in Christ, Renee Kilhoffer. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.